Today on Brave, Jeff Schwarzentraub teaches on living in the light.
Many of us, we don't like the light. We don't like to come to church because we don't want to get exposed for who we really are. And we run from the light, but we say with our mouth, Jesus and I, we're good, we're great. No, Christians embrace the light. Christians allow the light of God to penetrate the areas that have been dark so that God can pour his light through them. That's what it means to abide in Christ. That's what it means to walk with God.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. For centuries, lighthouses served as life-saving tools for maritime pilots. By shining powerful lamps, these beacons would help ships navigate closer to land while avoiding dangerous rocks or reefs. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff says that just like ships in the dark, we too need a life-saving light to guide us to safety. He's continuing a study about living out the Christian life fully, faithfully, and with fellowship. It's called Better Together. And after today's message, you can catch up on previous programs you might have missed at bravemedia.online. Now, if you have your Bible with you, open to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, as we join Pastor Jeff for a message titled, Responding to the Light.
Here's what John says. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, in this is a very difficult passage to outline because, as we talked about last week, John spirals and comes back and spirals and comes back and spirals and comes back. But the first thing that John does before he tells us anything is he gives us a picture in verse 5 as to what our God is like. And notice what he says. He says, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. In other words, Jesus Christ, as we talked about last week, the God-man, told us exactly who he was. We saw him with our eyes. We heard him with our ears. We gazed upon him. We touched him. This Jesus told us a message. He directly gave it to us. We're telling you, and here's the message. Ready? God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That's the message. Now, the question John's going to ask us is, then how do we respond? Because there's some negative ways to respond, and there's some positive ways to respond. And I've grouped those for us this morning so we can start with one negative response and then how we're supposed to respond positively. And then on the second page, another negative response and how we're supposed to respond positively. Because with God being light, how do we respond to him? And here's what he says. This is our first negative way. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. See, you hear that? I mean, here's the error. The error is that we falsely believe our lifestyle does not affect our relationship with God. That's what he says. So if that's how it is, then here's the thing. Like, what are we called to do? We can respond properly. Notice verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, then what happens? Then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. Here's the truth. Notice this. We are called to live in the light of Christ in all areas of our life. We are called to live in the light of Christ in all areas of our life. It means we're called to align every single area of our life with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what John's saying. He says the error is we don't believe that our lifestyle matters. And so when we struggle over and over, we say, it's not a big deal. God will forgive me anyway. No big deal. God will forgive me anyway. No big deal. It's just sin. No big deal. Jesus said, it's a huge deal because in me there is no darkness. And if you say you're walking with me, but you're living in darkness, you're lying, right? But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, guess what? Then in the areas of your life, Christ shows up and sets you free. Now, here's another way to respond to the light of God in error. Really, verses 8 and 10 highlight another error. Notice what verse 8 says. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we're saying we have no sin now. And how about verse 10? If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Here's the error. Listen up, Christians. We falsely believe that sin is not a problem with us. We falsely believe that sin is not a problem with us. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's for non-Christians, Pastor. Come on. I mean, those sinners out there, you know them. You've met them. You've seen them. There are all those sinners out there. We used to be one of them. We're not anymore. If you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself. And all the way down to verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and his word is not in us. We make God a liar. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, when we say, oh, I don't really have a problem with sin anymore, or we live in such a way that we're not confessing our sin anymore, here's what we're saying all the time by our actions. God, you're a liar. God, you're a liar. You're a liar. You say I need your forgiveness, you're a total liar. You say I'm in need of you, God, you're a liar. You're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar. See, because most of us think that when we come to Christ, it's all about us doing good for God. No, Christ came to live in you. It's God doing his work in and through you. In other words, if I'm going to live for Christ, here's what I'm going to do. I am surrendering my life in such a way where Jesus Christ can get done in and through me whatever he wants, whenever he wants, whatever he wants for his glory. That means all my life, at all time that I'm breathing, my life is for Christ. So here's the question. Here's the question. Listen, listen, listen. For those of you who say, well, I never sin. We ask the wrong question. We go to the word and we say, how do I feel about this? And how am I doing? You're asking the wrong question. Here's the question. God, in every area of my life, are you getting the most glory through me minute by minute and moment by moment? If Jesus says no, then it's sin. Then we confess our sin so that Jesus can get done through us at any given time what Jesus wants to get done through us. Because it's not how I feel about it. It's not what bothers me. It's not whether I can handle it. It's how does he handle it? How does he feel about it? Is he able to get done what he wants to get done? Do you see why we don't confess our sin enough? Do you see why we don't think it's a problem? Because we still think that the Christian life is about us. It's not about us. It's not about what I'm doing for God. It's about what God's doing in and through me. So I better be asking the question, God, am I living where you want me to live? Am I doing what you want me to do? Am I loving my spouse the way you want me to love them? I mean, think about marriage for a second, for heaven's sakes. We nitpick to death each other. How many know, by show of hands, Broomfield, you're included in this, that if you look for faults in your spouse, you might be able to find some? Every woman had their hand up first. I don't know why. I don't know why that is, right? You can find that. And then you can go to counseling and pay somebody $150 an hour to tell them what you found. And you can keep going forever. And let me tell you what will change. Nothing. Except you'll be more poor. Or you can ask this question. God, am I being the spouse that you want me to be? Am I demonstrating Christ to my spouse in such a way that if you had full reign of everything in my body, that I would be honoring my spouse the exact same way that you would be honoring my spouse if you were the one living in and through me? See, that's a better question. Because I promise you, if you ask that question, God may show you some things that need to change in you. Do you see, the reason everybody's quiet this morning, nobody's clapping, is we're all uncomfortable with this. See, we thought the Christian life falsely was about us. The Christian life is about Jesus through us. And so we need to care about how Jesus feels about things through us. See, the error is to think that it's not that big of a deal and sin is not a big thing for me anymore. And every time we live like that, here's what we're saying. God, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar. God, you're a total liar. You sent Jesus, I don't know why you sent him. Like, I can get to God on my own. Or God, you've already saved me, but now it doesn't matter that I need you anymore. Now, here's the truth. If you read through the scriptures, you'll see this. There are two different kinds of forgiveness the Bible talks about. One is judicial or forensic. It's kind of like if you picture in a court of law where God declaring you righteous. Here's when that happens. At the moment you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it is done. It is paid in full. No one can snatch you out of God's hands. You are his for all eternity, forever and ever. Amen. Even if you sin, you still belong to God. Right? You're his. Let me make no mistake about that. But guess what? there's this ongoing parental forgiveness that takes place all the time. It's like when Jesus was sitting around the table with his disciples the night he was betrayed and telling them he was going to wash their feet. They're like, you're not touching my feet. Peter says, and Jesus says to him, hey, unless I wash your feet, you have no part of me. In other words, I need to ongoing clean the areas of your life that still continue to get stained and dirty. I mean, there's still areas in your life that need to grow. And here's what I found in my walk with Christ. The more I walk with Christ, the more I realize I'm forgiven, past, present, and future. My past isn't catching up to me. My future is secure, and I live in the presence of God's glory, and I know that. But the more I know that, the more I also realize at the same time that there are areas in my life that God is still pruning me and working on me and asking me to confess things so that he can get more glory in and through me. And I found that the more I walk with him, I don't hear his voice less. I actually hear his voice more. Now, here's what I'm telling you this, guys. Listen. When I was a new Christian in my early 20s, and I would go to Bible studies, and I would see somebody who had been a Christian for like 30 years or whatever, there's sometimes where the people that had been Christians longer would talk like this. I would share my heart, but authentically God was, oh yeah, I used to struggle with that when I was you. I used to have that. I'm like, well, when did that stop? Well, when you mature, then you don't have those things anymore. And I used to be like, oh, okay, I can't wait till I mature. Here's what I learned. They weren't mature. They weren't abiding in Christ. If I had known the word the way I know it now, as a 24-year-old, if I would have had the guts to say it, I'm like, oh, I didn't know. You're a liar. But I probably wouldn't have said that at 24. I probably wouldn't say that now either. But the point is, we need to be real comfortable as a church that we can understand that all of our sin, past, present, and future, is completely forgiven. And yet, since it is, and since Christ is in us, and he's perfectly holy, righteous, and true, and he's light, and in him there is no darkness at all, if there's no darkness and he's dwelling in us, that means in the areas of our life that still remain dark, he starts shining flashlights on them and beacons on them and showing us areas where I'm not in there yet. And God is so patient that he takes us through this process called sanctification. Because if when God saved you, he showed you all your stuff at once, you would never stop weeping. God in his grace has to build us and show us he loves us. And then he shows us some other areas we can grow in. And here's how we respond then. Here's the truth. Ready? I mean, this is the beauty of the whole passage. The beauty is this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, here's the truth. We are called to confess and forsake our sins. You say, well, where's the word forsake in there? Forsake means walk in the light. To confess means literally to say the same thing as. It's two Greek words, homo legeo, the same words. It means we speak the same thing as. We say the same thing as who? As what God says. That's why the question we're asking is not this. The question we're not asking is, okay, where did I sin a little bit this week? Where did I go wrong? What do I need to do better? No, that's not the question. The question is, God, you're perfect. I realize in light of your perfectness, I'm not. You're trying to get a work done in and through me on this planet. Lord, in this season of my life, is there any relationship, is there any way with any person that I have not acted in the exact same manner, tone, and voice of which you would have me to act? Now, he'll speak it to you. And then what do? We say the same thing as. Not, yeah, you're right. I do struggle a little bit with that, with my anger. No. Lord, I confess to you that I lose my temper. Show me why. Well, Jeff, it's because you are a control freak and you want everything to go your way and you expect everybody to serve you because you're super prideful. Yeah, I struggle with that, I guess. That's not confession. Confession would be if that's what God shows you, then you confess, Lord, I confess to you I've been prideful and I've been controlling and I've wanted people to serve me rather than my heart serving you, and I can't change me. So Lord, you change me because I don't want to be that anymore. I want you to live your life in and through me to the full. That's a different prayer. Or Lord, I'll never look at porn again. I know it's wrong. Hey Lord, show me why it's wrong. Okay, because you've created all people in your image, and for me to lust after someone that's not my spouse is going against you. And it, like when David said he sinned, what did he say? He didn't say against Bathsheba and only Bathsheba have I sinned. What did he say? Lord, against you and only you have I sinned and done what's wicked in your sight, because I took somebody that was your daughter that you loved, that you cared for, and I treated her selfishly for my own needs. And Lord, I confess to you that I'm an adulterer, and I confess to you I was wrong, and I need you to change me. See the difference? See, the reason we don't confess is because we don't want to call it what God calls it. We want to call it a little bit of a struggle. We want to call it something that we're working on. You can call it a little bit of a struggle and something that you're working on for the rest of your life. Or you can get before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, hey, Lord, what do you say about me? And here's what you'll hear all at the same time. This is the way I usually hear it. And God's Holy Spirit has a way of doing this beautifully. I'll hear how much he loves me. I'll sense his great love for me. I'll know he hasn't left me. I'll know he hasn't forsaken me. I'll know that I belong to him. And then he begins to pour out in me ways in which I have not reflected his grace, and ways that I have not reflected his goodness. And to the extent that I can confess that is to the extent that I see healing in my life. I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. But I know I'm not the same person, not because I worked on it. Tried that for a period of years. It doesn't work. I know I'm not the same person because of the grace of Christ in my life and the areas where he's shown me and I've confessed, right? If we confess our sin, he's what? He's faithful and he's just. He's faithful and he's righteous to what? Not only forgive our sins, not only wash them away, but to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because in him there's no darkness. So what does he have to cleanse us from? Everything. Because he's got to pour himself in and through us. See, God didn't save you just so you go to church and get in a small group and do good things and give your money so that people would say you're a really nice guy or you're a really nice gal. God saved you because he had a plan from you for all eternity past for you to be his workmanship, for him to get his glory done in and through you. And you're the only person that God can do to pour that through. And he's asking, will you continue to seek me and allow me to pour my life through you? And if you say yes, there's going to be ongoing times where God says, yeah, but in this way and in this relationship and in this thing, I'm not being able to get my work done the way I want. And here's the problem with us. We have an agenda. I want to pick where I live. I want to pick who I marry. I want to pick how many kids I get to have. I want to get to pick where they go to school. I want to get to pick how we live. I want to get to pick the house I live in. I want to get to pick how much money I make. I want to get to pick how to spend my money. I. And if you can shift that to, Jesus, I want what you want. Because I know sooner, very soon, I'm going to see you face to face. And I want to know that all my money, my time, my relationships all looked towards you. And the things I was doing was for you. If you want to be great in the kingdom, what does Jesus say? Be small. Be the servant. Be the one that he can use. Who are the people Jesus can't work through? Prideful people that think it's about them. And many people that come to church think it's about them. And what am I getting today? And what's Pastor Jeff going to talk about? And I hope they're playing my worship songs and hope I like everybody in my small group, or I'm going to some other church. And then you can go to some other church and ask yourself the same questions. Or at some point in time, you can stop and you can say, God, what do you want for my life? And if you were living your fullness of who you were in and through me, is there any way I'm hindering that fullness? And if there is, what do? We confess. We say the same thing as, right? We live for God. So I want to end our service on both campuses in a little different way than how I normally end service, right? Because this is not the kind of message that you would want to walk out the door and be like, Pastor, thanks. I needed that, right? Yeah, this is the kind of message where I believe the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart. For some of you, there have been things God's been showing you or telling you for seasons. For some, it's been this week. For some, it was last week where God's telling you, hey, listen, I'm asking you to get this thing right. So we're just going to take a moment on both campuses and we're just going to bow our heads. This can be done individually, probably better if it is. If you want to pray with your spouse, you can do that. But I think it can be a time where we're just going to take a couple minutes and just go before the Lord and ask his Holy Spirit, Lord, is there anything in my life that's hindering you, Jesus, from being the fullness of what you want to be in and through me? And then when he shows us, because for several of us, he's going to show us, we're just going to confess those things with our mouth right before the Lord. You can whisper them. You can say them out loud. You can do whatever. Say, Lord, that's me. And right now, I'm just going to confess. And you know that when you confess, it's the blood of Jesus that wants to purify you from all unrighteousness. So let's take this time seriously. If everybody on both campuses, bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's just listen to the Lord here this morning. So Lord Jesus, we just invite you, as you've been speaking through your living and active word, Lord, you've been talking to several of us here. You've been showing us things in our own hearts where we have not reflected your light. as the Holy Spirit begins to show you what they are, would you just confess those things to him? Lord, that's me. I need your help. For some of you here this morning, it's your finances. There's no doubt about it. You say, I'm always broke. I never have enough. God, you never provide. But God's showing you this morning that he always supplies all of your needs according to his glorious riches. Perhaps he's telling you you're greedy. Perhaps he's telling you you're not content. Perhaps he's telling you, you don't trust me in this. I got this. Would you just confess that to him? For some of you, struggled with a sin problem for a long time. For some of you, it's anger. I mean, you can picture where you are right now when you blow up. For some of you, it's drugs. You picture right now where you say, it's the last hit I'm ever going to take, but you take it again. For some of you, it's a sex addiction. You say, it's the last time I'm ever going to. For some of you, you said, this is the last time ever, and you're trying to tell yourself that right now. Quit making promises to God that you can't keep. And Lord, speak to my brothers and sisters about what is causing that, and let us confess that sin. For some of you, as you're praying, you know God's called you to do certain things. For some of you, it's forgiveness to somebody you don't want to forgive. For some of you, he's been calling you into ministry, but you'll say, hey, I'll get to that later. For some of you, he's been calling you to restore your marriage, but you're like, hey, when they're ready to do it, I'll do my part. Lord, speak to my brothers and sisters here in this place. For some of you that are here today, you've kind of pedaled off God's path. You said, yeah, I love the Lord, but I'm going to go my own way for a while. You know the area you're going your own way. I mean, maybe 90% of your life seems to be aligned, but there's 10% over here that you wouldn't want exposed. God, expose it by your light and let my brothers and sisters just confess that. Lord, this is a powerful time in the history of our church because your word tells us that when we confess our sins, you're faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, there's nothing like knowing that we stand completely redeemed, completely loved, completely forgiven in the joy of the relationship we have with you. Lord, we confess to you now, none of the things that we're confessing, we're going to go out of here and try to work on. We're confessing to you now that in those moments, we need to be reminded of the fact that you're Lord over that, and we want to live for you in that area, and we want to honor you. And Lord, we want to keep calling on you and walk in your word and know you. And Lord, we're trusting you to set us free. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Lord, we thank you for your great forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub and the conclusion of a message titled Responding to the Light. As we heard today, becoming a Christian shouldn't mean becoming complacent. Our lives with God aren't meant to be stationary or self-focused. They're meant to be on a mission. If you've missed any of today's fundamental lesson, catch up at bravemedia.online. You'll have access there to the rest of our series, Better Together, along with other sermons from Pastor Jeff. And you can take these lessons with you wherever you go when you download the Brave Church app. This free resource gives you access to all of Pastor Jeff's sermons and notes, as well as opportunities for service and fellowship. Just open the App Store on your smartphone or device, search for Brave Church Denver, and download the Brave Church app today. Before we reach the end of our broadcast, we'd like to invite you to join us for worship this weekend at Brave Church. You can plan a weekend visit to our campus in Englewood or in Westminster. We'd be happy to show you around and get you plugged in with our growing church community. If you live further away, join us from the comfort of your own home through our live stream. Visit bravemedia.online, then scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom of the page for all the details and directions. If you have questions or an encouraging comment, maybe something that's really ministered to you during the broadcast and you'd like to share that with Pastor Jeff, reach out by email, hello@bravechurch.co. If you prefer to write a letter on paper, send it through the mail. Our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be thrilled to connect with you on social media. Just go to your Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram account, search for Brave Church Denver, and click the like or follow button. That's all our time for now. I'm your host, Bill Carl. We'll see you tomorrow for the next message in our Better Together series titled God's Heart for His Children. That's tomorrow, right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.